on agriculture, broadband, and rural development is now in session. Quorum is present. Welcome, everybody. Our first and only order of business today is the presentation of the governor's budget by our friends from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Ms. Wobble, if you would please get where you need to be, introduce yourself, full name for the record, and then do what you got to do.
Good afternoon, members of the committee, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much for having us. For the record, my name is Andrea Vobble. I serve as Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Commissioner Peterson is so sorry he couldn't be here. If you know anything about Commissioner Peterson, he loves to travel the state, and so he is out and about in McIntosh, Minnesota today, and so you are stuck with me for the day. I thought, if it's okay, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to do a quick introduction of our amazing leadership team at the department, just so you can get to know and see their faces. We're very proud to work alongside these incredible, brilliant minds who do the great work for Minnesotans every day. So I will just go down the line here. Starting with Paul Huguenin. He runs our Ag Marketing and Development Division. You all met him last week doing an agri overview. Next to him is Ashley Bress, our Assistant Director for Ag Marketing. Matt McDevitt, whom you've met as well, he runs our Rural Finance Authority. Lucy Hunt is the Director of our Office of Emergency Preparedness and Response. Josh Stamper runs our Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division. Michelle Medina is our Director of Government Affairs. Next to her is Tony Cordelette, who runs our Noxious Weed and Industrial Hemp Program. Assistant Commissioner Peter Chesset over there. He wanted to sit away from everybody today. Next, we have Jeff Ludeman, who is the Assistant Director of our Food and Feed Safety Division. Catherine Simon, who is the Director of our Food and Feed Safety Division. Dr. Nicole Neeser runs our Dairy and Meat Inspection Division. Julie Siss is our Finance and Budget Director. Christine Mader runs our grain program out of the Plant Protection Division. And then Mark Abrahamson, who is our Director of the Plant Protection Division.
I don't think I missed anybody.
Oh, and there's Patrice. He also wants to sit away from everybody. If you could stand, he's our other Assistant Commissioner, Patrice Bailey. Thank you very much for letting me take that time. So I am honored and humbled to present the Governor's 2023 Ag Budget Recommendations to you today. We have a lot to get through, so I will try not to talk as quickly as I usually do, but please feel free to ask any questions at any time. Oh. It's not going. There we go. So we just like to do a quick overview of our mission. It really grounds all of the things that we do at the agency and was a front of mind when we were looking at all the recommendations we wanted to put forward to the governor. So our mission, again, is to enhance all Minnesotans' quality of life by equitably ensuring the integrity of our food supply, the health of our environment, and the strength and resilience of our agriculture economy. So we wanted to talk a little bit about our process. So we thought it was really important this time. We wanted to gather ideas directly from the public. But first, what we always do every year after year is gather ideas from our division directors, many of whom are behind me today, and our incredible staff who work with all of the programs each and every day. They have a really good insight into what is working and what may not be working, or if there are things they're hearing about in their work that the agency should be getting involved in and getting out ahead of. So we always ask them to come up with ideas and suggest those to the commissioner's office. Again, for the first time, we created a legislative portal, so we asked members of the public. We have that open August 1st through September 15th, and we had over 350 submissions, all with a number of fantastic ideas that we sifted through to see what kind of themes arose from that and what could inform the process going forward with putting a budget together. We also had public meetings on September 7th and 8th of last year and got a lot of really good folks to come and, again, reiterate a lot of the ideas that they had either put into the portal or just wanted to tell us directly. And then, of course, we had stakeholder meetings with a number of groups around the state to find out what kinds of things they were putting priority on for the agriculture budget. So I'll jump right into the governor's budget for 2023. The governor's requesting $4 million total in fiscal year 24 and 25 for a healthy soil grant program. This builds on a new soil health financial assistance program that was created last year. It began as a pilot program. We actually just released it, our $500,000 appropriation, a couple of weeks ago and have already received a number of requests for all of those dollars. It supports our healthy soil management plan at the state level through voluntary implementation of soil health management practices, by awarding funds to access specialized equipment and machinery. When we talked to farmers directly, that was one of the main things that was a barrier for them to do some of these BMP or soil health practices on their land was the lack of access to that expensive and specialized equipment. Our Ag BMP revolving loan increase. The governor is requesting $4 million total in fiscal year 24-25 and $3 million per year ongoing. This seeks to increase the lending capacity for the Ag BMP loan program that we have at the department. It seeks to address its funding shortfall and support projects and practices that help our state's air and water quality. Mr. McDevitt touched on this a little bit in his RFA presentation, but this program is extremely popular with counties around the state. Again, it's a revolving loan program, so all of that money comes back and then is reinvested for things like erosion control, water quality projects, and of course to help meet our climate action framework goals for our natural and working lands. So an ongoing increase would be extremely welcomed to the department, but also counties and local units of government. Our Agri Sunset Extension. So again, Mr. Hugan and Ms. Bress gave a lovely presentation last week describing the really robust program we have within the department called Agri. It stands for the Agricultural Growth Research and Innovation Program. Again, just as a reminder, it is the fiscal tails of the old ethanol producer payments. There, in statute, there is a sunset date for June 30th, 2025. So we are seeking to extend that sunset. So you will see a $17.5 million per year ongoing ask for that. That is to, again, just continue on the Agri program. Out of Agri, you know, as was discussed, there's a number of programs that have come out of that, whether it be urban ag, farm to school, livestock investment, value added, or biofuels, bio incentive program, sustainable ag, crop research, amongst a number of others. So we are, as was mentioned, we do have a legislative report that is hopefully coming to you very soon. It's due February 1st, and you'll be able to see the broad reach that this program has had over its tenure, the last 10 years, and what impact it's had in your district specifically. Biofuels infrastructure grants. The governor is requesting $1.5 million per year ongoing. This seeks to continue the Agri Biofuels Infrastructure Financial Assistance Program. This is on top of a $3 million appropriation within Agri that's existing right now. These grants help service stations upgrade their equipment, things like fuel dispensers, underground tanks, and associated equipment, to be able to sell blends of gasoline containing 15% or more of ethanol. Grants are made to service stations in Minnesota that are independently owned or belong to chains of 10 stations or less. We're really trying to get to those smaller community mom-and-pop stations around the state who are seeking to offer more consumer choice at the pump. We recognize that they really want to be able to offer those things to their customers, but might not have the means to do that. So this seeks to help with that shortfall. Agri-meat processing grants, $250,000 per year ongoing. This seeks to expand the Agri appropriation by increasing funding available specifically for grants to meat, poultry, eggs, and milk processors. Demand for this has far exceeded the available funding we had in fiscal year 22, so we're hoping to build upon that. And as many of you know, with meat processing, that is a goal of the administration, even pre-COVID, was to really diversify the size, the smaller and mid-size meat processors around the state, and certainly upfront capital is an issue which we want to help address. Beginning farmer equipment grants. This, which... this and the next one will be run out of our Emerging Farmers Office, which I'll get into shortly. But this is a new program. We're seeking $200,000 per year ongoing. It's a grant program specifically for new and emerging farmers to increase market access and sales. This did come in through our public portal and was mentioned several times at the public meetings and in stakeholder meetings. It would be part of the department's value-added grant program out of Agri. These funds will be used for grants to individuals and operating costs, including engagement and outreach work associated with the development, execution, and administration of the program. The idea is that this would be run out of our Emerging Farmers Office. We would also design it and develop it with emerging farmers to make sure that it works for them. A big piece of this that we heard was our existing grant programs had high cost match requirements. So this would have a lower cost match requirement to break down some of those barriers and provide access for emerging and new farmers. Services to immigrant and BIPOC producers and businesses. The governor's requesting $250,000 per year ongoing for this effort. It seeks to support organizations that will provide culturally appropriate services to immigrant and BIPOC ag producers and food system related businesses. This builds upon a CARES Act appropriation that we did a couple of years ago to a couple of organizations like MEDA, LEDC, and HAFA to provide, again, technical assistance and culturally appropriate services. We got a lot of really great feedback, and there's certainly more need. Again, this would be run out of the Emerging Farmers Office. The Emerging Farmers Office. We are seeking to expand the EFO, as we call it. The governor's requesting $700,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $625,000 per year ongoing. As of right now, we have one person. She's wonderful. Her name is Lillian Otieno, who is our Emerging Farmer Outreach and Engagement Coordinator. She, along with who you met, our Assistant Commissioner Patrice Bailey, work really hard and lead this effort, but there is a lot of need that we're hearing each and every day, and we just do not have the capacity to meet the needs that we're hearing from Minnesotans every day. So this ask would fund additional staff needed to provide services for emerging farmers throughout Minnesota, specifically in areas of grants management, as I mentioned, the two previous programs we'd like to run out of the EFO. We currently do not have grants management capacity in the EFO. And would like to provide that. Along with that, coordination, communication, and technical support, overall office management, and then tribal consultation. This proposal also includes the elimination of the sunset for the Emerging Farmers Working Group. The Emerging Farmers Working Group was established a couple of years ago and it's set to sunset in 2025. We have found this to be their assistance and insight to be immeasurable and extremely helpful in helping us review our current programs, but also where other opportunities for the MDA to step in and help with some of the barriers emerging farmers around the state are facing. So again, we would hope to eliminate that sunset and continue the Emerging Farmers Working Group well into the future. Minnesota Grown Expansion. The governor is requesting $75,000 per year ongoing to support our Minnesota Grown program. Many of you might be aware of it or have seen the little sticker, the brand all around the state when you go visit a U-Pick or purchase locally produced goods in stores. This program received its first state appropriation 35 years ago in 1987. It was a way to promote products that were grown or raised on Minnesota farms. The program was originally focused on locally grown produce, and there is still really a heavy specialty crop focus within the Minnesota Grown program, but we are seeing over the years a significant increase in membership related to locally raised and processed meat and poultry. So we'd like to increase the appropriation. It has not seen an increase since, I believe, 2008. So again, an additional $75,000 per year to $261,000 per year. Will be administered with existing program staffing levels and will allow the agency to invest in paid advertising, social media promotion, public relations, and then also significantly expand the content on our very popular, well-utilized MinnesotaGrown.com website. Farm safety, health, and wellness. The governor's requesting $250,000 per year ongoing. This seeks to support farm safety outreach and equipment cost share payments to farmers. You might be familiar with the ROPS program, which stands for our rollover protective structures, and our grain bin safety cost share program. We're seeking to provide additional support for those programs, as well as our stress and mental health outreach promotion and support to farmers and others in the agricultural community. It also includes a pass-through grant to the Minnesota FFA Foundation to engage FFA chapters on creating education, training, or outreach related to mental health and stress mitigation in their communities. The Ag Emergency Account. The governor is requesting $1.5 million in one-time funding to replenish the Ag Emergency Account. The Ag Emergency Account was created in 2016 by the legislature after the 2015 high-path avian influenza outbreak. We are so grateful for that and thankful for the insight that the legislature had. It's been an incredibly big help and backstop for us as we've sought to address and respond to a number of ag emergencies. As of right now, we just had what we called phase one and phase two of the HPA outbreak last year, both in the spring and then the fall, and we're waiting any day now to see another outbreak this spring. Another looming threat is African swine fever and is number two in pork production. We know that that will be a significant hit to the agricultural economy, so we want to make sure that whether we're in session or not, that we have the means to be able to respond quickly and adequately. The Good Acre Leaf Program, the governor's requesting $100,000 per year ongoing. This seeks to support the Good Acres Local Emergency Assistance Farmer Fund, or LEAF. It provides underserved farmers with new market channels by paying market rate prices for their produce, all of which then is donated to hunger relief organizations across Minnesota. The Good Acre created this program during the COVID-19 outbreak, and it was incredibly well utilized. They have great numbers to show the return on investment and the success that this program has proved. So the governor felt it was important to show support and have an ongoing state appropriation to continue this program. The governor's requesting a little over $8 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $9.2 million in 26-27 to maintain service levels at the Department of Agriculture. This ensures that MDA can deliver its current services as cost pressures increase, as everyone is seeing everywhere. Our operating budgets cover a number of things like employee compensation growth, IT service rates, vendor contract, and things like laboratory preventative maintenance contracts. If we don't get an operating adjustment, as it's commonly called, we don't feel that we can deliver the services that Minnesotans expect and that we would like to provide. MDA IT modernization, the governor's requesting $2.4 million in fiscal year 24-25 in one time, in addition to a fee authorization in fiscal year 24 and ongoing. This supports efforts to replace our old and outdated IT systems that we have. This builds on an appropriation that was provided by the legislature last year to start and build the foundation, really, to update again the outdated IT systems we've had for a number of years related to inspection and compliance. We do have, our customers are expecting that a lot more of our services are easier to use and are provided online. They are also becoming quite tough to navigate for our staff as well. We're hoping to create, by moving to these modern technologies, we can improve our self-service options for those who seek our services and to streamline and be more efficient with our staff time and work to provide, again, better customer service, which is our ultimate goal. The Rural Finance Authority, as I mentioned, you heard about this last week. The governor's requesting $40 million in bond authority to purchase bonds for the purpose of funding RFA bond loans. We have five programs out of the RFA that are geo-bonded. One of them is our Beginning Farmer program, which is by far our most utilized and well-known program. We are projected to exhaust our current available funds by October of this year. We are hoping that if we can get this authorization now, we will prevent any shortfall here later in the fall as we move into increased lending. And as I speak about increased lending, the governor's requesting $150,000 per year ongoing for our RFA capacity increase. This seeks to add additional resources that will reduce bottlenecks in processing and service times. As I mentioned, the RFA services 13 different types of loans. We also, for that team, added on the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit Administration, as well as the new Down Payment Assistance Program. The amount of loans that we service over the year has tripled. And we just simply do not have the staff capacity to be able to offer the services in the timely manner that we would like and that Minnesotans expect. So we were able to find some short-term funding for a phenomenal loan officer, but we do not have the ongoing capacity to be able to fund that position. So we're asking, the governor's requesting that the legislature maintain that that ability to keep that person around. Meat processing liaison, the governor's requesting $150,000 per year ongoing. This does include just $75,000 per year in general fund because we will be leveraging $75,000 in federal. This seeks to support a meat processing navigator position at the MDA. They would assist new and prospective meat processing plants to navigate the many food safety regulatory requirements that are necessary to become a meat processor. They would also help find available grants and financing that might be existing around not only at the state, but maybe federal sources or others, and work through other local processor issues, things like zoning, working with local governments, and other infrastructure requirements like plumbing and other things. We have amazing staff who try and successfully work a lot with folks who are looking to become a meat processor, but they also have, there are other full-time jobs that they have to be able to do. We want to free up that time and make it really a less burdensome process for those who are looking to get into this. We need more meat processors, as I mentioned. And we're hopeful that this would help alleviate some of the stress and angst that comes along with looking and investigating if this is a right fit for someone. Food licensing modernization. The governor's requesting $3.8 million in fiscal year 24. This would be a one-time hit to the general fund. It seeks to redirect non-dedicated food handler license and inspection fee revenue from the general fund into a new ag fund account. It allows us to create a fund balance that ensures short-term salary issues that we've come across are addressed, but also creates some overall long-term funding stability for that program, which we have asked for several years and are hopeful that this will work itself out this time and be able to provide some of that, take off some of that pressure of that general fund account. The Grain Indemnity Fund. The governor is requesting $5 million one time in fiscal year 24. This seeks a one-time appropriation from the general fund to establish a grain indemnity fund that will protect producers who have unpaid grain sales when grain buyers or warehouses become financially insolvent. A number of you have heard over the last several years that the state has faced a number of insolvencies. We know there are a number of states around us who have indemnity funds, and as of right now, the system we have in place simply does not protect producers. So this is a way that we seek to ensure that there is an ongoing fund that producers can access should they be involved in insolvency. So the one-time investment would be made from the state to establish the fund, and then would be replenished through fees associated either with sales of grain or in lieu of current bonding costs. We're also happy to come back and talk about this one a little bit more in depth, as it is a very important program that we've put together and thought through quite significantly, and there's a lot of questions I'm sure that will come from this proposal. Agri-value-added entrepreneurial support. The governor's requesting $250,000 per year ongoing. This seeks to expand the current agri-value-added program we have by focusing on key areas of entrepreneurial support, including grants for co-packing, cold storage, and commercial kitchens. This was something that came in loud and clear through our public portal and working with stakeholders, that folks who are really seeking to grow their small businesses are lacking in a lot of these supply chain areas. So we're hoping we can help alleviate some of that pressure. We would also look to fund additional value-added grants and expand investment in our new markets cost share program that focuses on food safety and environmental sustainability. You might have heard of things like HACCP plans, which can be somewhat complicated to put together. We would hope that funds like this could help small businesses put those together. Our bioincentive program funding increase. The governor is requesting $5 million in fiscal year 24 and 25 and $10 million in fiscal year 26-27. It seeks to add funding to pay claims for incentive payments out of the existing agri-bioincentive program. The purpose of the incentive program is to spur private investment in production of advanced biofuels, renewable chemicals, and biomass thermal energy. It's been, we have quite a few claimants that over the years have again made claims, but we have not had the funding available to be able to pay those claims. So we're hoping that, again, claims for these payments greatly exceed the appropriated funds we have of right now, so we're hoping this increase in ask will reduce that shortfall. Grants for farmers markets hubs. This is another one that came in through the public portal. The governor's requesting $700,000 in fiscal year 24-25 to establish and administer a competitive grant program for farmers market hubs in Minnesota. This builds on an effort that was started under a USDA Special Crop Block Grant with great organizations like Renewing the Countryside, the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Ag, and the Minnesota Farmers Market Association. They'll provide funding to start, sustain, and grow aggregation efforts at farmers markets. With this initial program that these great organizations put together, they had a lot of interest, and we want to be able to build on that great work and provide some state funding to make that a more robust program. Increased second harvest heartland milk allocation. The governor's requesting $250,000 per year ongoing for this effort. It supplements an existing grant to second harvest heartland to purchase milk, protein, and surplus ag items like fruits and vegetables. These funds would be used primarily and specifically for milk purchases. They did have an appropriation for $600,000 for these milk purposes. They thought that this would last at least 6 months, but it ended up lasting four. We know the need is out there and the prices are up. So the governor is hoping to help supplement some of those efforts around the state. Expanded international trade support. The governor is requesting $150,000 per year ongoing. This will support a full-time international trade representative based at the MDA for trade missions and international marketing support, as demand for these services have outgrown our current capacity. We have one fantastic international trade representative named Jeff Phillips. He does a lot as one person building out our trade capacity around the globe, but we know that there's a lot more that we can be doing. We also have states around us who have a lot more trade capacity for international trade efforts, like Wisconsin and others that have four or five employees dedicated to this effort. So we really want to remain competitive and make sure that we're kind of getting in there first when we're looking at these new and emerging markets around the globe. So we're hoping an additional staff person will be able to help us. Additional activities we use within international trade are things like in-market reps. We started one with in Taiwan, and that's been shown to be successful, and we know there's more that we can be doing. We just simply don't have the capacity. County fair premium increase. The governor's requesting $200,000 per year ongoing. This proposal increases the aid for eligible county and district ag societies and associations, or county fairs. This will increase the existing base appropriation they have to $674,000. This, again, are premiums that are paid out to county fairs who are eligible and apply. And we've heard loud and clear from them. This did also come in through the portal and through meetings that they could use an increase in the premiums they receive to be able to offer the services they do each year. Noxious weed grants. The governor's requesting $400,000 per year ongoing for this effort. It seeks funding to make grants to local units of government and tribal nations for noxious weed detection, control, and management. You might be familiar with things like Palmer amaranth, poison hemlock, wild parsnip, and many others. This is a program we've had in the past, but funding has not been appropriated for these next biennia. So they've proven to be an effective way for the MDA to provide coordination of efforts while enabling needed on-the-ground management. We work really closely with our county ag inspectors. We've heard loud and clear that this is extremely helpful for counties and their ag inspectors to be able to do some of these efforts for all of the noxious weeds added to the eradication list. Climate Implementation Coordinator. The governor is requesting $150,000 per year ongoing. This seeks to establish a new Climate Implementation Coordinator position at MDA. We have a number of amazing folks who work on climate each and every day, but they cross divisions and they often cross teams and units. And so we want to make sure we've got somebody coordinating all of the activities happening not only across all of our MDA divisions, but also with our counterparts at sister agencies, particularly related to the Climate Action Framework goals and natural and working lands. We'd also ask this person to develop strategic partnerships with outside organizations and then also coordinate all the federal funding opportunities related to climate, which have grown exponentially through USDA the last couple of years. Pass-through grants to ag organizations. The governor's requesting $800,000 in fiscal year 24-25. These are legacy pass-throughs. For those of you who've been around, you'll recognize a lot of these. So these are one-time funding for pass-through grants. The money comes to us, and then we allocate the dollars to them. So places like Center for Rural Policy and Development, the Northern Crops Institute, the Minnesota Turf Seed Council, Minnesota State Poultry Association, the Minnesota State Horticultural Society, I'm missing one here, a Green Seam is another one, and then the Minnesota Livestock Breeders Association. Funding for the pollinator research account. The governor is requesting $100,000 per year ongoing to fund, put dollars into the pollinator research account, which was established a couple of years ago, but no money's been appropriated. This is funding to the University of Minnesota in consultation with the MDA to fund research and outreach activities specifically focused on improving pollinator habitat and pest management practices that reduce the effects of pesticides on pollinators. Topics could include, but are not limited to, IPM, pest economic thresholds, seed treatments, risks to pollinators, and identifying pesticide management programs that are compatible with pollinators. Sorry. fertilizer tonnage fee increase. The governor is requesting, this is not a general fund appropriation, but $750,000 is what we anticipate would be generated with this fee increase. The proposal is to seek a 25 cents per ton increase to the fertilizer tonnage fee. Increased revenue will allow MDA to continue to current support on inspection and permitting, conduct nitrogen point source evaluations and investigations. This was something that came out of the groundwater protection rule that we've been had no money allocated to do such things, and then sample consumer fertilizer products. The governor is requesting $822,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $676,000 in fiscal year 26-27 to cover the cost that MDA believes may be incurred related to the legalization of adult-use cannabis and the standing up of the Office of Cannabis Management. This includes current MDA responsibilities as this office is established, including licensing, inspection, enforcement, surveillance, and grants assistance. Obviously, we're heavily involved with our industrial hemp program as well as our food inspection activities. We do have a bonding request for our East Grand Forks building. We are asking for $457,000. $384,000 in GO bonds and $73,000 in cash. The governor seeks to renovate the potato facility that we have located in East Grand Forks. It's used primarily for potato-related services, including seed potato certification, lab testing for pathogens, our potato cyst nematode surveys, our USDA shipping point inspections, our federal crop insurance grading, and sampling, amongst a number of other things. It is a state asset that we have had for many years. We've done some repairs in the past, but we want to make sure that we're keeping up on those repairs and providing, again, being smart with the state investment that we hope will last well into the future. There are several budget neutral changes that were included in the governor's budget. The reason they're included here and not in the policy bill is there's a fiscal component to it, but it does not have any impact to the general fund. So a couple of things on here. Some of them are pretty technical, but for our pet food registration streamlining, our current statute requires that pet food distributors register each product and submit a current label annually. It creates an unnecessary burden for our staff, for feed distributors, but also an admin burden for our staff at MDA, because most of them are the same year after year. So we would like to streamline that a bit and have label submission be now within 5 days upon request of the department. Our plan review fee modernization, we're recommending moving from a level 3 fee group to a level 4. Creating a new smaller facility group for the smaller operations. We also do clarify that the remodel fees involved will be calculated based on the remodeled space group and not the full facility. These recommendations were heavily based on stakeholder input from smaller independent facilities as well as larger facilities who all have very different needs. Expanded eligibility for farm to school. This was another one that came in through the public portal and other such meetings. As of right now, the Agri farm to school program, we are only allowed to give money out to schools. We want to be able to expand eligibility to early child care centers. We know that there is a need, a want, and certainly another avenue for farmers to provide markets, but then also, again, connect children with local foods. The OSB Production Incentive Amendment, OSB stands for Oriented Strand Board. That is a program that was passed a couple of years ago. There is no funding currently allocated to it, but we know that an incentive program can be quite administrative heavy, so we just want to make sure that we have the ability to have admin for that if money should be allocated in the future. Expanded option for Agri Sustainable Ag Demonstration Grant. This broadens reimbursable activities, increases options for in-kind match contributions from those applying for those funds. It allows them for grantees to use their own labor and their own equipment as an in-kind match instead of reimbursement. The governor is seeking to modify the Beekill Compensation Fund. This changes the statute to allow for compensation of eligible beekeepers when a responsible party is determined and will address a potential delay in compensating commercial beekeepers by not tying compensation to the need to determine a responsible party, for example, a pesticide applicator. Updated fee structure for nursery certificates. This is an updated fee structure for nursery stock certificates. It would result in a similar amount of revenue, but it's in better alignment with the amount of nursery stock moved by individual certificate holders. This was also determined in line with our nursery advisory group that we have at the agency. and could result in a decrease in revenue, but we do not expect it to be enough to affect operation of the overall program. Our RFA down payment assistance grant extension. The down payment assistance program is new. We just did our first round at the beginning of the year here. I think it was January 4th or January 5th when we opened up for the first $500,000 allocated to that program. We are just asking that we have carry forward authority to spend into the next following fiscal year. Our concern is that sometimes money might be allocated to somebody who thinks they're going to be able to use it for a land purchase, a land deal might fall through, and then that we don't have enough time before the end of the fiscal year to spend that money or encumber that money, and we'd like to be able to keep that to provide to the next person if the timing just doesn't work out right. And then clarifying federal fund authority for chronic wasting disease. This is just, a technical thing. The commissioner already has existing authority under Minnesota statute and under Chapter 17. To apply for, receive, and disperse federal funding. So the addition of federal fund authority for chronic wasting disease in Chapter 35 is just redundant. So we're just cleaning that up a little bit. That's just a summary snapshot of all the general fund asks we have. This is really small for anyone to be able to see, but I know you have printouts, so I wanted you to be able to refer back to that whenever you'd like. So for the general fund summary in new dollars that the governor is requesting for agriculture, he is asking in 24-25 for $45.5 million. Fiscal year 26 and 27, he's requesting over $71 million. So between the two biennia, $116.5 million in new funds for agriculture. Just a couple of quick additional other ag investments that we thought you might be interested in. The Market Bucks program is one that the Department of Agriculture and the administration is extremely supportive of. It's in the humanities budget. We were happy to see an increase of $100,000 per year for that program, and then the addition of the Ag to School credit in the revenue budget. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to stand for questions. Thank you again for the time.
Thank you, Ms. Vobel, for that thorough and efficient presentation, and also for bringing the entire agency with you.
Yes.
They're an imposing crew.
Yeah, we made them all sit together.
So it's a good chance that our questions are going to be a little bit nicer because they're pretty intimidating, and there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Members, do we have questions, comments from Ms. Vobel? Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do have a few questions. Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Vobel, for the explanation and going through this. Starting on slide number 10,
yes.
I just have a question. If you would give me some idea of what you feel culturally appropriate services, what you'd be alluding to there.
Yes, I just want to make
sure. Ms. Bubble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Dames for the question. So typically when we're working with immigrant populations or emerging farmers, there might be issues with like translation or language barriers that might exist. There might be certain ways that they might be doing farming that from a country that they came from. It just makes sure that they have someone who understands specifically what it is that their operation might have been or might have looked like, and again, to make sure that they're linguistically able to communicate with those producers.
Thank
Senator
you.
Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair, another question on slide 11. There you're asking for $700,000 this biennium and $625,000 per year ongoing. Could you tell me how many additional staff you have plans to add?
Ms. Vobel?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, yes, we would seek to add an additional 4 staff to the expansion of the EFO.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner. Mr. Chair?
Senator Dames?
Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, under slide 15, the Good Ace Leaf Program, could you give me some idea of what new market channels you'd be looking at trying to develop?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, thank you for the question. I would defer to the Good Acre specifically to be able to talk about some of their things. I don't know that they're here in the room, but the idea is to connect the hunger relief organizations around the state are in need of culturally appropriate food and produce. So this is a way to create match those market needs. So the folks who are looking to purchase such things and then those who can provide it. So it's really the market access for them into the hunger relief community.
Thank you, Ms. Falwell. Senator Dames, I believe the Good Acre Leaf Program will be visiting with us in a week or two.
Okay, sounds good. We'll leave that till then. Mr. Chair?
Senator Dames.
The BioCentive program on slide number 24. We're looking at increasing the dollars in order to keep up with the claims request. Can you tell me how many dollars you're receiving on an annual basis of claims versus the funds you have to pay those claims?
Ms. Bubba?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, I'm just checking my notes. I had a feeling this question would be asked. So we're anticipating claims of at least $10.4 million in fiscal year 24. On top of the 8.25, that includes the governor's request along with the existing appropriation, would be $8,250,000. So we would not be able to cover the full request in claims, but it would help reduce the shortfall for fiscal year 24.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Certainly, Senator Dames.
So, Deputy Commissioner, does this... you say estimated, so we've got some businesses sitting out there that we assume are going to come to the full market, and is that assuming what those claims would be then with that?
Ms. Vobel?
Mr. Chair, Senator James, I will confirm, but I believe that it does not include those that have not already enrolled into the program.
Ms. Vobel, Senator Dames, am I correct in remembering that this program is actually already operating at a deficit of around $9 million?
Mr. Chair, yes, that is my correct. That is my understanding. And again, these are just our best guess estimations. We never quite know exactly how much we're going to get in claims until they actually submit them. So I should just provide that caveat for you, too, Senator Dames.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Certainly, Senator Dames.
So are we still adding new businesses to this program? Is that still an option for new business to qualify for these programs?
Ms. Vobel.
For this incentive?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, yes, we are, although I believe it is set to sunset this program in 2025.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. A follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Senator Dames.
Slide number 28, county fair premium increases. So as I understand, the county fairs receive dollars, and that's to help them pay for a portion of the premiums that they pay to the exhibitors. And so are we increasing the number of dollars we're going to pay to the fair so they can pay individual premiums at a higher level, or are we increasing this because we have more exhibitors coming to the fair and therefore we want to keep the same level but make up for the additional exhibitors? Can you tell me which this would be?
Ms. Fowle?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, I believe it is just an increased amount to the county fairs that they can then pay to whatever premiums they need to the exhibitors. I don't know exactly the number of increases for the exhibitors themselves. I would have to double check with you on that.
So follow up, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
So currently, they get a certain percent of the premium, and so what it amount to is that you'd be just increasing the amount paid to a county fair, and then they could either keep the same premium and take less out of their care fair coffers, or they could pay higher premiums. Is that what I'm hearing? So it'd be a local decision as to how the money would be used.
Ms. Vobel?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, that's my understanding, but yeah. I will confirm and get back to you.
I appreciate it, and thank you, Commissioner Vobel, Deputy Commissioner, and I'll turn the floor over.
Thank you, Senator Dames. I have a quick question, Ms. Vobel. Beginning farmer equipment grants, it's a fairly modest amount. Does it also include, how do we define beginning farmer in that context? Does it include people who might be starting as a farmer, but who perhaps have relatives who also farmed?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question. So we have a there's a definition for emerging farmer that we technically typically refer to for all of these programs within our emerging farmer working group, the EFO, and others. So we would stay in line with that definition. I don't know it off the top of my head. Perhaps Ms. Painter does, but that is the definition we typically use, and I can provide that for you at a later date.
Thank you, Ms. Fowle. Members, any other questions or comments? Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Deputy Commissioner, following up on Senator Dame's questions with the bioincentive payments, what could you refresh me of the amount in the proposal? And then I think those are capped at a certain point for any recipient. And how many recipients do we have of that bioincentive? I know there's a couple bigger ones, or at least one or two big ones, but if you can give us a little more of the lay of the land of that picture.
Ms. Wobble?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Westrom. I know we're going to look into that. I know we do have a bioincentive legislative report that provides all of these things, so if I don't have them right now, I'll make sure to send that to you so you have that. But typically there is there's a couple of larger ones, and then some smaller claimants that come in as well. There is also a cap on the amount that they're able to receive over time.
Senator Westrom?
Mr. Chair, remind me of the number that's being proposed in the budget you're right now.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Westrom, my apologies. The governor's requesting $5 million. In fiscal year 24-25 and $10 million in 26-27. This is on top of the $4.5 million appropriation that exists within Agri now.
All right, thank you.
Senator Kunesh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Under your budget neutral changes, the modified BKIL compensation fund, can you tell us, I know a few years back there seemed to be like a global almost annihilation of the bees and the within the environment that they were living. Could you tell us how that trend is trending right now, and then what kind of compensation do the beekeepers receive when there is like a mass termination of the bees?
Ms. Bubble.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kunesh, thank you so much for the question. I am going to ask our division director, Josh Stamper, to just come up and answer some of those questions.
If you would please state your full name for the record and Josh, commence your testimony.
Mr. Chair, Joshua Stamper, I'm the division director for the Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division in the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I cannot speak with great certainty about the global status of pollinators, simply because there's a lot of them, and it's hard to keep track of them. With regards to BKIL compensation, each year we usually have between 0 and 3 BKIL complaints that are submitted to us. Our intention with this bill is to allow beekeepers that experience BKILs to be made whole in a more rapid fashion. Currently, the statute requires for commercial beekeepers that we have to, demonstrate that there was a responsible party, and if there was, they would be compensated from that. This streamlines that process so that no one is dangling out in the wind trying to get their compensation for the BKIL.
Senator Kunesh.
Oh, thank you for that information. I hope that trend has been reversed, because it was a little alarming for a while there. I don't know if they were ever able to really figure out what it was that were killing off those hives at such a high rate. Was there ever a decision, or was there ever something that they could pin it to?
Mr. Sandberg.
Mr. Chair, Senator Putnam. There are many stressors on insects. I think when we look around at kept bees, in Minnesota, they, you know, there's not a lot of area that is not cultivated. We do need to provide more habitat to pollinators, both native pollinators and honeybees that would be kept by beekeepers. There are challenges with pesticidal loads, but there are also very significant challenges off of food, forage, access to clean water, but then also parasites that are found, especially amongst bees that are kept by beekeepers. Many of these issues interact and can have compounding impacts.
Thank you. And then just one last comment. I'm really glad to see that that the governor is making additional investments in market bucks. I think I shared with them, folks, that I started a farmer's market in my own community, and those market bucks have really made a big difference, and especially with the children. You know, they get their little coins or whatever, and then get off to purchase the vegetables of their choice. And so I really like the way that supports community, it supports families, and then also those farmers that get to redeem them. So thanks so much for continuing to do that work. Thank you.
Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Deputy Commissioner, for the report and the budget. I had a question, first question on page 8, the biofuel infrastructure grants and the need that's out there versus the money appropriated there, asked. How do they request, and how many requests have you had to upgrade tanks? So that'd be my first question.
Ms. Vollman.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dornick, thank you so much for the question. Yes, we've had a lot of interest in that program. We did have $6 million that was appropriated for this purpose, and we did have $1 million gift from the corn growers to help supplement that. And there was a lot of interest on upgrading specifically tanks and some of the fuel dispensers. I know we do have a report on that as well in terms of specific numbers, and I can get back to you on exactly the number, but we do know that there's more of a need than we had funding available. So this will allow us to provide additional infrastructure around the state.
Senator Dornick.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Please.
So second question would be, what is the average cost? Do you know what an average cost is for a station?
Mr. Chair, I'm just going to ask for some help from Mr. Huguenin, our Director of Ag Marketing and Development.
Mr. Huguenin, if you would state your full name, please, for the record, and
sure.
Commence your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, my name is Paul Huguenin. I'm the Director of the Ag Marketing and Development Division. One step back, I can't give you the exact numbers of applications that we had in the last round. So we had 71 applications that requested approximately $10.5 million. So that gives you kind of some specifics there. We were able to fund 44 projects. Our grants ranged from $83,000 to $199,000. We could cover up to 65% of their qualifying expenses. And if I was better at math, I could tell you what that meant their total project was. But that gets you pretty close to what the demand and cost was.
Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Appreciate that. Last question is for the Deputy Commissioner. So is just in the last page, the total is $116 million. Is that new money or is that added? And then I guess the second part of the question would be, what is the total increase of the budget from the last budget cycle? Thank you.
Ms. Wobble.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dornick, thank you so much. Yes, yeah, so the $116 million is new dollars, and I should just also note that it does reflect the Agri continuation, so that is a large portion of that dollar amount. And let me just... you'll see it's broken down by biennium in 24-25 and then 26-27. Currently, our general fund appropriation as of right now, our base appropriation, is about $139,914,000. So you can see the increase that over that would be the $45.5 million. in just fiscal year 24-25.
Follow-up, Senator Dornick? Senator Kupek.
Excuse me. Mr. Chair, I think Senator Dornick and I had an ESP thing going on. I had the biofuels question, and he asked everything I was going to ask, so thank you.
Members, any other questions or telepathic moments? Senator Anderson.
You ready to adjourn the meeting? I'll go with you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Vauble, thank you for your presentation. I see that we're adding some new new positions, coordinators, on the slide on the climate implementation coordinator. I'm just wondering, the money that's being requested is for one position. Is there a long-range goal for more in that particular department?
Ms. Hall.
Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, thank you for the question. As of right now, our thought is just the one implementation coordinator for climate. The idea is that that person would help lead the work and coordinate all of the work that existing staff do related to climate. So at this time, there is no plan to grow that as anything else than a coordination position.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Talks about coordinating federal funding for those opportunities in that particular office. What are you anticipating for federal funding?
Ms. Vauble.
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, there's been quite a few opportunities that have come out from USDA, particularly for climate smart commodities, as they've been calling it. And there's a lot of opportunity that exists amongst our agency, but also sister agencies like Bowser and PCA and DNR and others. So we want to make sure we're coordinating on those asks statewide. We also know that there is a FAR bill coming up, and we anticipate that there will be some additional opportunities that come out of the Farm Bill as well. So we want to make sure that we're not missing any opportunities that maybe other states would be capitalizing on, knowing that there's a lot of opportunity here in Minnesota to do some great things related to natural and working lands and climate.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
In regards to the position here, we have a energy committee that meets on a regular basis throughout the week. Is there any coordination between this particular position and the energy offices?
Ms. Vauble?
Senator Putnam, Chair Putnam, Senator Anderson. So we work quite closely in our climate activities enterprise-wide. We do work with the Department of Commerce, who runs the energy offices for the state. We also do work with, again, as I mentioned, PCA, DNR. We also work with MnDOT on decarbonization of transportation activities, things like biofuels and sustainable aviation fuel and other things. So certainly, yes, we're talking with our energy counterparts at the Department of Commerce.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Another slide. Even though the federal government hasn't legalized adult use of cannabis that I know of, we are seeking money here for that proposal of legalizing adult use cannabis. I'm wondering, for the money that you're asking for, how many FTEs will that be covering?
Ms. Vauble.
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, I do know, and just to note on that, that money is traveling in another bill. The reason we wanted to include it is because it would be, we wanted to show that MDA's role in the standing up of the office and its continuation well into the future should that pass. And we are currently working on a fiscal note for exactly what the impact would be for the agency. This is what we anticipate being. I'm just going to check with Assistant Commissioner Peter Chesset if he could come up. He's running all things cannabis for us at the agency.
If you could please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony.
Thank you, Chair and members. My name is Peter Chesset. I'm one of the Assistant Commissioners at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So, Senator, Deputy Commissioners, right, so the funding that was presented today is included in the governor's recommendation for the establishment of an Office of Cannabis Management. It represents some of the costs to the department we do, that proposal envisions that Office of Cannabis Management entering into interagency agreements with agencies such as our own to help set up and get that office running. In terms of FTEs, I don't know what that number would be for the Office of Cannabis Management. Again, the fiscal note is being drafted as we speak, but we can certainly get that information to you.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
In the small summary that here, it talks about licensing, talks about inspection, talks about enforcement, surveillance, and grants. Sounds like you're going to have more than just one.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, Senator, more than just one?
FTE.
Oh, yes, I imagine it'll probably be more than just one.
You imagine?
I can say it's going to be more than one.
But you're not sure how much you're planning on?
Sorry.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Yeah, again, all of those activities that are mentioned in that slide would be activities under the Office of Cannabis Management. So we would be consulting with them to help set up their own licensing, inspection, enforcement programs.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Would you be working with other agencies within state government as far as judiciary, law enforcement, things like that, for that purpose?
Mr. Chesson.
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes. It would be pretty much an enterprise-wide endeavor to stand up that office.
Thank you.
Members, any further questions or discussion? Well, thank you very much, our friends at MDA. A couple quick procedural notes for members. This Wednesday, I will be presenting the RFA bill, Senate File 548, and then we will have a presentation similar to the one we released today from our friends at Deed to talk about the broadband budget. Members, I also wanted to put on your radar, we will be talking about cannabis a week from today. It's a big bill. So I wanted to mention it today so we can start reading it now if we could. I would also like to encourage us members to focus on the elements of that bill that are specific to agriculture. I would like to keep our conversation focused on those particular dimensions of it on the day that we got to speak about it, because there's lots to talk about. So there being no further business before, Senator Dames. Senator Dames, I will do that, but I would also encourage a greater understanding of the bill as a whole, but I will send you areas to focus on as best of my knowledge.
And so are you going to limit our discussion to the areas that A focuses on, or the entire bill?
Senator Dames, I'm going to encourage us to stay focused on those areas. If there are areas that are collateral or in the same area, of course we can still talk about them. But given the scope and the size of the bill, I just think it's a good idea to kind of keep our attention in that area. But like I said, I have no intention of policing the conversation in that way. I just would encourage us to keep a slight focus on those issues that are most germane to our concerns, because there's lots for us to talk about. Senator Anderson.
What was the number on that bill?
On the cannabis bill? Senate File 73.
Senate File 73. Thank you.
You're welcome, Senator Anderson. Any further questions or concerns, members? There being no further business before the committee is adjourned.